We have been asked to have an administration. Our little Hannah has asked to be administered. I'm excited that our brother is here to speak. He informed me that he almost feels like a guest speaker. He's out and about doing the Lord's work quite a bit, and I know he's a busy man, and we haven't heard him in quite some time, but I think that we're all anxious to hear what he has to say and what the Lord has put on his heart. I'm not going to take any more time up here to introduce him, so I'm going to give you our brother and our speaker of the hour, Brother Ken Orr.
Good morning. I trust that everyone has had a wonderful Christmas and a wonderful 2014. Christmas has passed, and 2014 is almost history. When I read my first sermon, you're going to think this is a Christmas sermon, but it's not. It's not a Christmas sermon. This is seems to be the time of year when we reflect on the past, perhaps the mistakes we made and the things we did to overcome them, perhaps thinking about the Lord's blessings, and I hope that that is for each of us, that the Lord has truly blessed us this past year. Well, I'm going to read the first scripture. It's in Luke chapter 2. Most of us can probably quote it from memory. But Luke chapter 2, I'm going to read verses 8 through 11 only. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. We have celebrated this event. I'm sure most of you agree with me that this probably was not the time of year that the Lord was born, but it is the time that we celebrate his birth. And I'm glad that we have this opportunity to reflect. But the world has this opportunity to reflect on Christ. I want to talk about why Christ came. And really, Christ came for one purpose. And that was to die. Christ came to hang on the cross, to give his life, that we can have the opportunity to have life eternal with him. If Christ had not come, we would have no hope. If he had not hung upon the cross and shed his blood, we would have no hope. But because he did, because he came and he hung on that cross and he gave his life, we have hope of eternal life with him because of the blood of Christ. He came to die. He came to die for you and I. In Alma, in the Book of Mormon, in Alma chapter 19. I'm going to read verse 90. Alma chapter 19, verse 90. Therefore, as the soul could never die, and the fall had brought upon all mankind a spiritual death as well as a temporal, that is, they were cut off from the presence of the Lord. Therefore, it was expedient that mankind should be reclaimed from the spiritual death. We all know the story in the Garden of Eden. You know, the Lord commanded Adam and Eve not to eat of the knowledge of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. We know they did. They became as gods. And when they did that, they were cut off spiritually from God. Christ came to redeem us from that fall. Christ came to give us hope, to give us life, to give us life eternal. We know that our soul is eternal. Our soul will never die. We pass from this life, our soul does not die. Our body will die, but our soul never dies. There's a resurrection, and our body and our soul will reunite, and we will stand before the judgment bar of God. We will live forever. All mankind will live forever. Our only option in this is we can choose where we will spend that eternity. We can come to Christ. We can lay claim to His mercy. We can lay claim to His sacrifice. And we can live for eternity with Him. Or we can reject that call. We can reject Christ in our life and suffer eternal consequences. 2 Nephi chapter 6. 2 Nephi chapter 6, beginning at verse 45. Second Nephi, chapter 6, verse 45. And he cometh into the world that he may save all men if they will hearken unto his voice. And perhaps that's the key to his coming and giving us hope, giving us the opportunity of eternal life, if we will hearken unto his voice. I was watching, I forget what it was and where it was, but they quoted John 3:16 and whatever I was watching. I think it was a book I was reading, actually. And she quoted this scripture, you know, John 3:16, that whosoever believeth in him, and she quoted, shall not die. And that's not what it says. It says, should not. We have to hearken unto the voice of the Lord to have this eternal life. Yeah, he came to redeem all mankind. All mankind is redeemed from the fall, but not all mankind has eternal life with him. For behold, he suffereth the pains of all men, yea, the pains of every living creature, both men, women, and children, which belong to the family of Adam. And he suffereth this, that the resurrection might pass upon all men, that they all might stand before him at the great and judgment day. And he commandeth all men that they must repent and be baptized in his name, having perfect faith in the Holy One of Israel, or they cannot be saved in the kingdom of God. And if they will not repent and believe in his name, and be baptized in his name, and endure to the end, they must be damned. For the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, has spoken it. We must obey. We must obey his commandments. He came to save us. He came to save us if we will listen. I know in my life, many times I have not listened to the voice of the Lord. Have not listened to that warning, have not listened to that still small voice that spoke to me and says, don't do that, or do this. We must listen. We must learn to listen. Not just listen to him that we must repent and be baptized, but we must listen to him daily for his guidance and his direction. But just because we entered the waters of baptism, the Lord has not stopped speaking to us. And he speaks to us. I think he speaks to us daily. Almost daily, he speaks to us in one form or another, guiding us or directing us. I was reminded one time, I was speaking to a brother at one of the reunions. We were talking about how do we know it's the Lord speaking to us? And this brother said, from experience we learn how God speaks to us individually. He doesn't speak to each one of us the same. But through communication with God, we learn how he speaks to us. And when we learn how he speaks to us, we need to learn also not to ignore that voice. Because when we do, things don't turn out so well. So we need to listen. Listen to him calling us to repentance, to baptism. Listening to us, to him call us to repentance every day of our life. There's a script I'm not going to turn to, but several scriptures, but one that comes to mind is in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. It says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. His words that he gave us 2,000 years ago are the same words that he would give us if he stood before you this morning. He cannot lie. And the promise, he gave a promise over and over and over in the scriptures. If we will yield and listen to his voice and keep his commandments, we have eternal life. It's a promise. It's a promise to us that we will have eternal life. But only if we listen. Listen to the voice of God and keep his commandments. You know, we're going to read right here about enduring to the end. We must endure to the end. Second Timothy chapter 2. Second Timothy chapter 2, I'm going to read verses 4 and 5. No man that warreth entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. Christ, when he came, he gave us a plan. He gave us the way. You know, he said, narrow is that gate, straight is that gate that leads to life, but wide is the road that leads to destruction. We must strive lawfully within the commandments, within the guidelines that the Lord has given us. We're not to entangle ourselves in the world. Not to partake of the things of the world. You know, Apostle Paul, excuse me, he told us we have to be in the world. We work, we go to school, we buy groceries, we rub shoulders with all types of people in the world. But he said not to be part of that world. We spoke a little bit in our Sunday school class this morning about movies and going to the theater. And really the terrible influence that movies have on our life. You know, Hollywood takes great liberty with the Word of God. You know, it was mentioned that religious movies are a big thing today. But when you really look at them and watch what they're showing us, they're leading us away from Christ. They are. Those movies are, they're not portraying the true Christ. So, let's be careful of our involvement in this world, partaking of the things of the world. Sister asked me, and I believe it was in Honduras, asked me one time, what's it mean when the Lord says, come out of Babylon? What does it mean? Well, we obviously cannot stop working, stop going to school, stop shopping, but to come out of, not partake of the things of the world, spiritual things of the world, the influences, the doctrines of the world that will teach us, separate ourselves from that. Because the Lord said, if we don't, we will suffer the plagues of the world. So we cannot serve God and the world. It's a fact. We cannot do it. We have to serve one or the other. We can't be a part-time Christian. Or we can't be a almost full-time Christian and only partake of the world a little bit. We have to do one or the other. It's impossible to serve both. If we do not serve God, scriptures tell us that we will spend eternity outside that kingdom. Only by our service, only by our commitment to God can we expect to spend eternity in His kingdom? Christ came willingly. He willingly came 2,000 years ago to give us the opportunity. He came and He gave us the plan of salvation. He told us what we need to do. We're fortunate. We're fortunate in the Church of Christ that we have an added witness to Christ. We have the Book of Mormon, an added witness to the words of Christ, to His prophecies, to those things He told us that we must do in this life. And over and over and over again, He gives us the plan of salvation. It's really quite easy to understand. We try to make things complicated. Mankind, we're human beings, and I guess we don't like simple things. But Christ, the plan of salvation, is simple. He said we must have faith. We must believe in Him. We must believe in His Father. We must repent. We must be baptized. And we must endure. That's the plan of salvation. Faith, repentance, baptism, and endure to the end. That's it. A lot more to it than that, of course, but we come to the point where we've accepted Christ as our Savior. We've repented. We've been baptized. And then we endure to the end. We have His words. We have His commandments. We have been given everything that we need to live a righteous life. 2 Peter chapter 1. Somebody took it out of my Bible. I know it's here. 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 3. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. According as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue. We have everything that we need in the Scriptures for life. Life in this time that we live here in this carnal body, and for eternal life. We have everything that we need. In 2 Nephi chapter 13. One of my favorite books in the Book of Mormon, this whole chapter of Nephi. In reality, this chapter takes us from our infancy, from before baptism. It takes us through baptism. It takes us to the end of our life. 2 Nephi chapter 13, verse 27, we're asked a question. Okay, we've given our life to Christ. We have faith. We've repented. We've been baptized. Now we're on this path to eternal life. And that's the question. Verse 27, and now, my beloved brethren, after that ye have gotten into this straight and narrow path, I would ask if all is done. This is where we are today. Today, we're at verse 27. Have we done everything that we need to do to have salvation? Verse 28, behold, I say unto you, nay, for you have not come this far, save it were by the word of Christ, with unshaken faith in Him, relying wholly upon the merits of Him who is mighty to save. I'm preaching to the choir this morning. I'm preaching to people who have taken upon us the name of Christ, relying on the merits of Christ, who is mighty to save. Wherefore, ye must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope and a love of God and of all men. He says keep his commandments. And kind of throughout the scriptures, he kind of throws those commandments in. He doesn't say this is a commandment, but he kind of, as you're reading along, he kind of throws those commandments in at us, doesn't he? He says, you must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ. We cannot give up. We cannot let go of that rod of iron. We cannot become discouraged. We cannot give up our faith. We cannot think that, well, it's okay if I do this. God will forgive me. True. But I'll just leave it at that. He says, having a perfect brightness of hope. Do we always have that hope in front of us? Or does life, I tell you, life sometimes gets to you, doesn't it? Life sometimes overwhelms you. Life sometimes tries to take that hope from us. But the Lord said, he said, there's no temptation, there's no trial, there's no tribulation, there's no affliction that we have that's not common to the world. And that God has not given us a way to overcome. Satan, on the other hand, he's going to be in there and he's going to try to discourage us. He's going to tell us lies. He's going to tell us that there's no hope. He's going to lead us to partake of the world. He never quits. He never stops. He's out there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, trying to lead us to destruction. That's his goal. He just doesn't want to hurt us. He wants to destroy our souls. He doesn't take a day off. He doesn't have a vacation. He is there 24/7. But we have the Spirit of God. It's also there 24/7, leading us to righteousness, whispering in our ear, don't do that. Don't go there. That may sound good, but it will destroy your soul. And that's how Satan works. Little by little, leads us away to destruction. Verse 30, wherefore, if he shall press forward, feasting upon the word of Christ, we must press forward. Don't look behind. And that's, to me, is one of Satan's tools. We look over our shoulder. You know, I made a mistake. And we carry that mistake with us. Even though God has forgiven us. Maybe we're still looking over our shoulder, wondering what people are thinking, what people are imagining when they see us. But we got to press forward. I think it was Brother, I can't remember who it was, at the Phoenix reunion. He mentioned that. He'd spent years looking over his shoulder. He came to the realization that you have to look forward. Look forward. Feasting on the Word of Christ. I think every one of us here probably had a fairly good feast. Christmas Day. I know I did. I couldn't eat anymore. You know? Never eat again. I was so full, I'd never eat again. But I did. I ate breakfast. I think I even had lunch after church that night. But we feasted on the things that were set on that table. Do we feel the same way about the Word of God? Do we feast on that Word of God till we get full? And then do we come back and feast again and again? You know, if we don't partake of physical food, we will die. If we don't continually partake of spiritual food, we will die. Unfortunately, some people in the world, they go to church at Christmas and Easter, they feasted, they're satisfied. We come at least three times a week, the majority of us. But we shouldn't be satisfied with that. That's not enough. What do we do in our homes? Do we feast upon the Word of God in our homes? Do we read the Scriptures? Do we study the Scriptures? Do we pray? One of the biggest tools that Satan has is he takes our time. He has us waste our time. And in simple things. Don't get me wrong. I think the internet and cell phones and all these computers are wonderful inventions. I use them every day. Satan also uses them. He also uses these inventions to lead us away. And it may not be, we may not be going anywhere. We shouldn't go on the internet. We shouldn't be, you know, it just takes our time. Takes our time. Makes it so easy to waste time, doesn't it? The internet makes it so easy to, they got games galore. They have things you can look up. There's places you can go. You can go travel the world on the internet. None of them are bad. But do we let Satan take our time? Do we waste our time when we could be visiting somebody or studying the Scriptures or whatever that's useful to God? We must feast upon the Word of God and endure to the end. That's a commandment. Endure to the end. I don't think he would have used the word endure if he didn't mean it. Sometimes it's a struggle. Sometimes we have to do what's right simply because it's the right thing to do. We don't want to do it. It's not the most convenient thing to do. It's not the easiest thing to do. But we do it because it's right. And behold, saith the Father, ye shall have eternal life. That's what we come to this little room for, is eternal life. Oh yeah, we come, we visit with each other, we have a love for each other, we're glad to see each other. But the reason that I'm here, the reason that you're here, is to have eternal life. We come to Christ for that purpose, to have eternal life. Now behold, my beloved brethren, this is the way. This is the way. There's only one way. There's none other way nor name given under heaven whereby man can be saved in the kingdom of God. Only in the name of Jesus Christ. Only by being obedient to His commandments. Only by giving our lives to Him can we hope to have eternal life. We must keep the commandments until the end of this life. And we got to look for those commandments. When we're reading the Scriptures, we need to kind of look and search out, well, what's He commanding me to do? Press forward. Just for an example, press forward. Have a steadfastness in Christ. We're not wavering. We're not back and forth. We're not in the world, out of the world. We're not studying. We're not studying. We're steadfast. We have a purpose. We have a goal. We have Christ. Do we have a perfect brightness of hope and a love of God and of all men? What's it mean to love God? What's it mean to love our fellow man? I'm not going to take the time today, but there's Scriptures that tell us how to love God, what we must do, what we must do to love our fellow man. Press forward, feasting on the Word of God. Endure to the end. These are all commandments. We read the Scriptures and they're there. You know, if you read further in Peter, he says to add to your knowledge. Temperance, patience. Those are commandments. They're not just put in there for, okay, well, those are nice words. But we need to look at our lives. We need to examine ourselves and have these things. You know, you look at charity. Gives you the qualities of charity. The Lord said if we don't have charity, it's not going to be good for us. So we need to look at the scriptures, feast upon the scriptures, and find out what it is to have charity. What it is to serve God. What does it mean to serve God? Coming to church Sunday morning and going home and watching the football game this afternoon, is that serving God? We need to think about it. We need to think about our lives. Think about what we're doing. Think of the consequences, perhaps. Christ did not come to save us in our sins. Matthew chapter 1. He will not save us in our sins. He cannot save us in our sins. If he did, he would cease to be God. Verse 21, chapter 1, verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Not in our sins, but from our sins. We have to repent. We have to walk that righteous life for Christ and his sacrifice to have any effect on us. 3 Nephi, chapter 12. Third Nephi chapter 12, verse 31. And for this cause he fulfilleth the words which he has given, and he lieth not. Christ cannot lie, but fulfilleth all his words, and no unclean thing can enter into his kingdom. No unclean thing can enter his kingdom. The only way we can get there is to be made pure through the blood of Christ by obedience to his commandments. And then his blood and his grace has effect on our soul. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Are we after the flesh, or are we after the Spirit? Have we been born again? According to the words that Christ gave us in John, we are. We have been born again. We've taken upon us Christ's name. We've been baptized. We're in this new path. And if we are, we don't mind the things of the flesh anymore. We're supposed to mind the things of the Spirit, to follow the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. We've been given that Spirit. Christ has claimed us. Christ came and died for us. We must walk in the Spirit. We must turn our back on the things of the world and walk that new path that Christ has set before us. In Moroni, chapter 10, last page in the Book of Mormon. We're going to talk a little bit about this grace that saves us. You know, we're not saved by our works. We can work and work and work, but it's not our works that save us. It's the grace of God. Verse 29, and the first, wrong page. Verse 29, yea, come unto Christ and be perfected in him. The only way we can be perfected is to come to Christ, to deny yourselves of all ungodliness. And if you shall deny yourselves of all ungodliness and love God with all your might, mind, and strength, then is his grace sufficient for you. That's how we get the grace of God. If we deny ourselves of all ungodliness and love Him with all our might, mind, and strength, then is the grace of God sufficient that by His grace you may be perfect in Christ. And we have to be perfect. If we're not perfect, we cannot enter His kingdom. We can only be made perfect through the grace of Christ, through His blood. And that gives Him the right. He shed His blood. That gives Him the right to go to God for us, to present us perfect before Him. Why? Because we've denied ourselves of ungodliness and we love God with all our might, with all our mind, and with all our strength. If by the grace of God you're perfect in Christ, you can in no wise deny the power of God. And that power of God is to give us eternal life. That's His power. You know, Apostle Paul said in Romans, he says, the gospel of Christ is the power of God to salvation. By our obedience to those words that we've been given, it's the power of God to salvation. He can save us because we're obedient, because we've denied ourselves, because we love. And again, if by the grace of God, if ye by the grace of God are perfect in Christ and deny not His power, then are you sanctified in Christ by the grace of God through the shedding of the blood of Christ, which is in the covenant of the Father unto the remission of your sins, that ye become holy without spot. That's our commission. That's our calling, to become holy without spot. We do everything that we can, and the blood of Christ will make us pure. Only by the blood of Christ. We are a chosen generation. A chosen people. We are the people of God. We are the church of Christ. We are His people. Let's not forget that. We are the people of God. Why? Because we've taken upon Him the name of, upon us the name of Christ. We've kept His commandments. We are His people. We need to act like His people. We need to live like His people. Just as the house of Israel is His people, the church of Christ today is God's people. His chosen people to be used in these latter days. So here we are, the middle of this life. Some of us are past the middle of our lives, but in the middle of this life, and we're walking this path towards God. And the great thing about this gospel, and the great thing about God, is we are not alone. We are not alone. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Oh, I can testify to that. Lots of things in my life, after the fact, I didn't know about that. I should have been praying about that, but the Spirit, at God's direction, looks within our hearts, sees the things that we need, and He maketh intercession, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with moanings which cannot be uttered. And He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. God's will is that we all make it. He's doing His part. He just expects us to do our part. In 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. I'm going to read the first verse. My little children, These things write I unto you that ye sin not. That's a commandment. Right there. Do not sin. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Jesus Christ goes to God on our behalf. We have help here, brothers and sisters. We have help walking this path. We're not alone. And we have each other. Let's take advantage of each other. Let's take advantage of the Spirit. Let's take advantage of Christ. Not in a way that we use Him badly, but take advantage that He is our advocate. Take advantage of the Spirit, that the Spirit goes to God for us. We're not ever alone. Back in Romans chapter 8, I should have told you to keep your place. Romans chapter 8. Verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We're never separated from God. Even when we walk contrary to His commandments, we're not separated from Him. He's reaching out to us. He's calling out to us. Listen to that voice of God, the prompting of the Spirit. Listen, listen, listen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm going to begin at verse 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. It's going to be a time when we will be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. We're never more going to fall apart. We fall apart in this life. Our bodies fall apart, but in the eternal world, there's no more corruption. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. We're going to live forever. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, forasmuch as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We have the victory. In Jesus Christ, we have the victory. Christ came 2,000 years ago as a little baby to grow, to be our example, to preach the gospel, to build His church, to teach us. But He came to die. He came to hang on that cross, to shed His blood for us. To give us hope, to give us the opportunity of eternal life, the choice is ours. We serve Him, we love Him, we keep His commandments, the promise is eternal life. Brothers and sisters, we have the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thank you for your attention. God bless you all.